demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, sad, sad one here today. Here's one of the truly, he was one of the truly great journalists in all sports, man. Chris Mortensen, Mort, an award-winning journalist. He reported on the NFL, specifically for ESPN, for, over three decades? He died Sunday morning at the age of 72. He had been dealing with throat cancer. And stepped away last year to really put more focus on his family and friends. But man, Angel, I mean that's one of the guys. Like you, that guy gave a report or started talking about something, and if he did inject his opinion, sometimes he did. You listened. You knew he was giving you a legitimate report, a legitimate thought. He wasn't going for the clicks. He wasn't going for popularity. He was just about the facts. I mean, guys like Peyton Manning trusted him with his story, with his retiring, the story of him retiring. I mean, Manning even said he's like one of the guys that I trusted to do that. Not many guys earned that. Not many reporters like him could earn a lot of these players' respect as far as, hey, I'm going to give you something, and I trust that you're going to do the right thing with it. Because, I mean, like Adam Schefter, who I got a lot of respect for, but even like guys like Tom Brady would tend to throw some barbs at him once in a while because they didn't love how they were reporting things or whatever. Chris Mortensen, man, I mean, is there anybody that ever had many bad things to say about that guy? Certainly didn't hear it. He wasn't one of those. Like Stephen A, we could talk about. You know, some people are highly entertained by him and some people get really upset with him. Adam Schefter, I think sometimes people get a little weird with, I don't know, just... Again, Tom Brady was irritated at Schefter. I don't remember Mortensen ever being one of those guys that people didn't like. It wasn't that he played the nice guy. He just did things the right way. He received the Pro Football Writers of America's Dick McCann Award. He was honored during the Pro Football Hall of Fame's enshrinement ceremony in August that year as well. But he changed. I feel like the way he did his stories and the way he put together his coverage, it kind of changed the game. Not in the clickbait way. If Mortensen's putting it out there, it happened. It's real. Anybody else? Okay, maybe. Maybe not. But he's putting it out there. Adam Schefter, those two, like, back and forth. Like, they busted tail. You know, they busted hump to make sure that they were constantly on top of these stories. So those two were like Batman and Robin, kind of, right? Schefter said this on his social media. An absolutely devastating day. Mort was one of the greatest reporters in sports history and an even better man. Sincerest condolences to his family and all who knew and loved him. So many did. Mort was the very best. He will be forever missed and remembered. He was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer in January of 2016. That's he stepped away from his role at ESPN. Was that in 2023, maybe late 2022, to focus on his health, family, and faith is what he said. So I got that wrong. Not just the friends part, the health, family, and faith. I agree with this. Norby Williamson, executive director and head of studio production for ESPN, said this. Mort helped set the journalism standard in the early days of ESPN. His credibility, attention to detail, and reporting skills catapulted our news and information to a new level. More importantly, he was a great teammate and human being. He personified care and respect for people, which became the culture of ESPN. Roger Goodell said, "Sad day for everyone in the NFL." He went on, "I admired how hard Chris worked to become one of the most influential and revered reporters in sports. He earned our respect and that of many others with his relentless pursuit of news, but also with the kindness he extended to everyone he met. He will be greatly missed by many of us in the league who were fortunate to know him well beyond the stories he broke each Sunday." We send our condolences to his family, his colleagues, and the many people Chris touched throughout his well-lived life. Here's what Peyton Manning said. We lost a true legend. Mort was the best in the business, and I cherished our friendship. I trusted him with my announcement to sign with the Broncos and with the news of my retirement. I will miss him dearly, and my thoughts and prayers are with Mickey and his family. Rest in peace, Mort. One of the greats, for sure. Sad. That's a sad one. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Flying Dutchman texting in. Let's read some texts. I didn't read a lot of texts. What retired NFL player is now faster than he was at his combine workout?
Is that a trivia question?
I don't know. What retired NFL player is now faster than he was at his combine workout? Combine workout?
Who sent this in?
Flying Dutchman.
Deion Sanders.
No, he doesn't have it.
I don't know. He could have been slow at the combine. And
I don't know. I don't know. Didn't think I'd be asked this question today. What? Who? I'd like to know now. Now curiosity is killing my cat, Angel. Terrell Owens? The GOAT, Tom Brady, Flying Dutchman says. Is that true?
Probably.
Why? Better athlete?
Yeah, I don't know if
better
he had
diet?
A great combine performance.
But he probably wasn't much. He's probably not much faster than that. But I would say his body and his diet and all that stuff has been much better over the last 10 years.
Was he faster when he was 28 or 38?
I would say that the last 10 years, since he took his diet pretty seriously and stuff, you could argue that he's, in much better shape than he was when he was coming out of college. Yeah. That's a good little trivia. Said he ran the 40 again last week and was faster than his combine time. I didn't see that. I did not witness that. I had a lot of basketball
going.
What's
he doing that for?
For funsies? Do you know on the new Madden, on this year's Madden, you can play as Rich Eisen? Yeah.
Really?
You can get him as a player.
Didn't know that. Is he good?
I didn't get him. I'm not gonna mess my I don't want to mess my roster up, Angel.
For gimmicks?
Big Hub says, after watching First Take this morning, Stephen A. had me rethinking what a winning culture is. What do you think a winning culture is? Going to championship rounds or having a winning record every year? I think it's a mixture of those two. Winning is not just something you can half... I don't know if I can say that. Half butt. You can't just you can't say that you're George Karl's Nuggets and you're in the playoffs every year in the first round and you get eliminated. Is that a winning culture? Well, it's not a losing culture. But is it a winning culture? Is give me a team that won a random championship and then really hasn't been back much after that.
The Raptors.
Okay. Is that a winning culture? Hey, they got a winning culture there. Well, I guess it's fair to say anybody that's in the playoffs every year has a winning culture. What is a winning culture to me? Kansas City Chiefs. New England Patriots. If the Avs win a Stanley Cup, if the Nuggets win a championship this year, then it would be those two teams. They have a winning culture.
I'd say the Nuggets in the last...
The
2 years
they
after
have a winning
they got
culture
Malone
right now.
Is when, like, I,
it started.
2018 on.
It started.
They started winning.
Yeah, but you didn't really look... At the time, you didn't look at it and say, they have a winning culture.
Right. They were building a winning culture.
They were building it. Now they've cemented it. They won a championship. So now they have a winning culture. The Avalanche have a winning culture. If they get eliminated in the first round, then yeah, it takes a hit. That takes a hit this year.
What about Boston?
Where's the title with this group? I mean, the last title was with KG and company, right?
That was like 2009?
Mm-hmm. So, no. Big Hub says, they said the Cowboys don't have a winning culture. They don't.
They don't.
The Cowboys don't have a winning culture. The Chiefs have a winning culture. The Ravens, as much as I know their quarterback is who he is, they don't have a winning culture. They win, but what is a winning culture? I go to, are you winning championships? sometimes, but are you always a threat to? That, to me, like the Bills, you're a good team. You have some good players, but you don't have... I think there's a difference between a winning culture and you're not a losing culture. The Rough Bills do not have a losing culture.
49ers.
Again, when I hear winning culture, I hear championships. I hear constantly a threat to win a championship. And the Niners just haven't won the championship yet. To say that they really have this big, high winning culture, they're close to it. I guess it just depends. How strict do you want to get with the whole culture of winning thing?
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
Really? The Astros. Depends on who you ask.
Anything necessary.
Jeez.
By any means necessary.
Banging on trash cans.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. But maybe. It's easier to tell you who doesn't have a winning culture. Yep. But yeah, I do think that... Like, does Golden State now have a winning culture anymore?
No.
They don't. They did just a short while ago, and now it's gone. When we talk about windows, championship windows, there's a window of your winning culture as well.
I mean, they won 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That was it. And that ended. Now they're not known as a team that's a threat to win a title. I think to have a winning culture, yes, a title needs to be on your resume fairly recently, and I think you also need to be a threat every year to win that. The Bills totally have a losing culture.
I will second that.
The Bills don't have a losing culture because they're in the playoffs all the time.
But you lose four Super Bowls.
Well, that Bills, though. Which, I mean, who are we talking about? The Bills.
The Bills are the Bills.
No. Again, Golden State, then to be fair, then if you're going to base it off that, and Golden State has a winning culture, and they forever will. As long as Steve Kerr is there, they will forever have a winning culture, even if they lose by 40 or 50 or whatever it was. You can't, like, I'm not going to, if you want to talk about franchise, like, the history of the franchise, are the Bills losers? That's hard to say. They went to Super Bowls.
What about the Spurs?
Not anymore. They had a winning culture. For what? 20 years? 15 years? However long that was, I don't know. Basically, like Popovich, 10, Duncan.
Years.
Yeah. They began their winning culture there. They began it even before Duncan because Robinson was such a great player. And then you kept that going, and you were a winning culture, even when you weren't winning a championship every year. But the culture around there expects to win. You know, when you hear, what's the Raiders slogan?
Just win, baby.
That and something of excellence, something excellence. They have that. That's just, that's just words. Those are just fake. That's fakesies. It's not a real thing. Flying Dutchman says, I would say the Broncos have a winning culture because they have championships in the past, and there's an expectation for greatness from the fan base. As a franchise, correct. That answer is correct. But you have missed the playoffs for 8 years now. So I have a hard time saying the Broncos, as it stands today, have a winning culture. They do not. I mean, just a year ago, they had a quarterback in an office that's away from the team. Like that those aren't winning moves that you're making, firing coaches on a daily basis. The ownership is brand new. So I think it's fair to say that all the winning, the culture that you had from 2015 going back to the late 90s, it's gone.
We've talked about championship windows closing or resetting. Does the culture reset?
Yeah. Unless you're asking me, Brady, as of right now, when you look back at the Broncos from the last game of the season against the Raiders to their first game ever, do they have a winning culture type franchise? The answer would be yes. But right now, with this current regime and everything, like if you're asking me, are the Broncos currently a winning type culture? The answer is no. They don't win. They lose a lot. They don't make the playoffs. They're not a threat to win a title. So do the Broncos have a losing culture or just a culture? It's all so confusing. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have a culture.
Well, Primetime says the culture's just made up. It's not even a thing. As a Commanders fan, I would say culture can be reset. Yeah, you want that. Yeah. A
couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Winning culture, texter here. Winning culture seems to be the opposite of a defeatist mentality. When a team expects to suck, they do. So can you have a winning culture if you're in the HVAC guy? Thank you. Can you have a winning culture if you're in the playoffs every year? Were the Nuggets, when they had George Karl and Carmelo Anthony, that span from 2003 to 2010, would you consider the Denver Nuggets to have a winning culture?
I think sustained success and the ability to keep that success when you face setbacks.
In the Nuggets, what they did was they hit a wall. They just kept getting beat in the first round. So suddenly it's not a winning culture. It's just, it's not a losing culture.
Like, we go back to the last 6-7 years of Nuggets, and it's, you didn't have Jamal and MPJ for a year and a half. How did you do?
Yeah.
You still made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You still got MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
You've traded away players. You lost Bruce Brown, who was sixth man of the year in the playoffs, and now you're right back where you were at the same point last
Correct.
Year.
Yeah, the Nuggets, I think you could give them right now, they have a winning culture around there, which is a special thing.
It's the Chiefs. Lost Tyreek Hill, you've won 2 Super Bowls.
Is it different for college? You're an Alabama guy. Do you consider, and I know it's basketball and football crossover, do the CSU Rams have a winning culture inside the basketball locker room? They went dancing 2 years ago. Obviously, last year was a reboot year. They're about to go dancing again. Probably not going to win a championship, but do they have a winning culture in that locker room? That's an interesting debate, because in the pros, we're talking championships, threat to win a championship.
For now,
yeah,
until you see what they do without Stevens.
So, like, right now, today, the Rams over there in Fort Collins have a winning culture. To the Bears? Not really.
No.
They're trying to. B-Rad says, the Buffs have done nothing since the 90s, but wouldn't you consider them to have a winning culture now, even though they don't win? No.
They have a winning mindset.
They have a popular culture. They're in the bit. They're in the know.
They're very positive about
the
potential of
they
winning.
They got something. They got an it there. It might not be a winning it, but it's it. They're full of it. Well, they got... No, I'm saying they're full of it. That's not meaning anything bad. They're just full of it.
It you is know? Up to your discretion.
They have a lot of it. They're full of it. Someone's going to take this, transcribe it. Whole show says the Buffs are full of it.
Full of what?
I'm saying
that's
it's
for
a
you
compliment.
To
yeah, that could be a compliment. Thank you, Big Hub. Even though it's Stephen A's thing, our debate on this is more fun. The only CSU teams with a winning culture are women's volleyball and basketball. But why would you say basketball over the men's basketball team? I seriously, I don't know.
Becky Hammon, she's a winner.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
The Rockies.
That is a losing culture. It's easier to define the losing culture than the winning culture. Because there's a difference between going to the playoffs and Steelers made it. Oh, yeah. Do the Steelers have a winning culture?
I'd say so.
Right now? Like, right now. Hey, all we do is win around here. That's what we do.
The record says that they do.
The record says they have a winning record. But it doesn't say all we do is win. Like, the Chiefs, I would say, they do a lot of winning around there. You know, the Patriots back in the day. We come here, we win. 25 minutes after the hour, let's talk about CSU. Steve Ivey will probably tell you CSU does have a winning culture. Steve Ivey has his blog, his podcast. He's been feeling under the weather the last couple of weeks, man, but he is busting out of this thing stronger than ever. And, of course, he witnessed the greatness of Isaiah Stevens over his career. So let's talk to Steve. Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff.
Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I would say, again, it's different kind of rules with the pros versus the college world, because there's so many college teams that developing a winning culture can be just, hey, you're getting to a bowl game every year, maybe you're in your top of the conference standings, or in the basketball world, you're going to March Madness, you know, maybe two or three times every 10 years or so. I don't know, something. Steve Ivey would probably agree with this, though. Nico Medved has developed a winning culture for CSU. Steve, we're talking deep today about winning culture. What constitutes a winning culture?
Yeah, Nico certainly understands it, and I think it comes with that motto, team together. It's not just a team that plays together and shares the ball on the court, but it's an organization that they don't just get along with each other. They embrace the community. They embrace the fans. They basically are a very, very together kind of organization, and that's very much what Nico's culture is all about.
Yeah, well, and we're seeing it. I mean, you know, 2 years ago they're dancing. Last year, kind of the reboot year, kind of a funky year. You're getting used to life without Roddy. Steven starts the season hurt. And then this year, of course, they reloaded this thing. However, Steve, I would have said you're crazy if after what, 12-1, the Rams went 12-1 in their non-con schedule. If you would have told me, yeah, they're going to finish what, 7th in the Mountain West, and then I also would have called you crazy if you said, you know, they're going to finish 7th in the Mountain West, but still go dancing. So it isn't sports. Like, man, they're great. They're so much fun. It's crazy.
The Mountain West is ridiculous this year, as you know, Brady. We've got six teams that right now are lined up to get at-large bids for the NCAA tournament. They've had five before, but never six. And you even have a scary seventh team in UNLV that has been playing as well as anybody over the last 6 weeks. So it's been a crazy deal. As for CSU, you know, we probably overlooked a couple of things. And, you know, I talked about this on my podcast that I put out this morning. You know, first of all, CSU had one of the more difficult schedules in the Mountain West. It's been rated as the second. You know, they play unbalanced schedule. They don't play every team twice. And CSU played the bottom four. Instead of playing them twice each, they played only six games against those teams, and they played all the other top teams twice. And so their schedule is rated the second hardest in the Mountain West. At the end of the season, it'll finish probably first or second as the hardest. The other thing is, and this is something Nico pointed out to me on Saturday, and it's really, none of us noticed this, and it's not something Nico complained about because he's one of those guys that just plays the hand that he's dealt. But, you know, there are byes within the Mountain West season. CSU went 14 games without a bye. That is the longest stretch any team went without a bye. And the example I use, Boise State went 11 games without a bye. The last two games of that 11-game stretch, they lost by 13 at CSU and 19 at Utah State. And now Boise State is top 25 in the net rankings. Imagine if CSU could have had maybe a little more rest. And so they've been running on fumes. And I think, you know, what we're really seeing is that kind of the byproduct of team together. It would have been real easy for them to fracture. And they haven't. They came out and they played a solid game against Wyoming on Saturday on senior day for Isaiah and came away with a good border war win.
Yeah, that was a big one for so many reasons, Steve. My concern was, how emotional is this night going to be? Obviously, you have the terrible tragedy with what happened with the Wyoming swimmers. And then you have, you know, mixed in, it's senior night, it's Isaiah's last night at Moby Arena. That's an emotional thing. Plus, this is a Wyoming team that, hey, they beat the Rams, and then they know that, hey, if we can finish the season at least saying we swept the Rams in the regular season, well, we can at least take that home as somewhat of a consolation prize. So there were some concerns in this one, and the Rams found a way to get it done, had to do it. Now they do have a lot of time off before they take on Air Force this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, credit to Wyoming, they came out and they could have buckled. There were a couple times when CSU got up by double digits, and they could have buckled. A couple of freshmen were the ones that led Wyoming back. They had their two best players were freshmen, without any real a lot of experience in the border war. And I give a lot of credit to them for fighting back. But in the end, CSU put it away, and now it's on to Air Force, and that's another extremely important game. CSU has got to, I think, win the next two to be able to feel safe about getting an at-large bid to the NCAA.
So you've got the magic number at two. They got to find a way to win at least two games, whether it's one here against Air Force or in Colorado Springs, I should say, or hey, let's say something really bad happens and you lose that, you got to win two in the tournament.
Absolutely, I don't think they can afford a loss to Air Force, who's, you know, it would be a quad four loss. That would be a real dent on the resume. That would mean they'd have to win first round Mountain West game and then get a good win over a quad one win in the quarterfinal round in advance. That would be absolutely imperative. They cannot afford, if they don't get a shot at a quad one win in Las Vegas in the tournament, that means they lost in the first round. They can't afford to lose the next game. That will absolutely put them out of NCAA consideration.
So, Steve, the pressure cooker, the Rams are in it right now is what you're telling me.
Absolutely. That's fun. It makes it fun.
And yeah, I think
the players are digging it. The coaches are digging it. And, you know, I talked a little bit about this with Nico. I went to practice last Thursday. And, you know, I had them at the start of the year. When I looked at the schedule, I said 22-9. And if they win on Saturday, they'll finish 22-9. I thought it would come differently. I thought they'd lose a few more games in the non-conference. And I had no idea the Mountain West would be as good as it was. I thought they'd go 12-6 in conference. And of course, we got our expectations up high because they played so well coming out of the non-conference schedule. But if you looked at the beginning of the year, I talked about this team being a possible NCAA at-large team. I thought they were going to be NIT worthy for sure, and with a shot at the NCAA tournament. And they've exceeded my expectations. They've lined up that NCAA at-large bid really, really well, as long as they close.
Talking to Steve Ivey on the First Advantage Hotline. Steve, my man, we're losing you a bit. They're kind of cutting out, but we'll see how long this can go. Steve, when you look at Isaiah Stevens, his career, obviously we have all the record breaking, you know, getting to March Madness, maybe a chance to do that again. But what a phenomenal career this guy has had. I mean, it's a once in a lifetime kind of player for Colorado State.
Yeah, I think you and I would agree it would have been nice to see his number hung in the rafters after the game on Saturday. We're never going to see another player like him. First of all, you won't see a player stay for 5 years at a school given the current situation in college basketball. And the fact that he stuck his 5 years out, he delivered not just on the court but off the court as well. You met his mom, you met his brother. What an outstanding family. He's the kind of person, I mean, we all love our kids and we all think we're great parents, but I'll tell you what, I told Isaiah's parents on Saturday that I really admire them because they raised a kid that everybody would want to have and be able to call their own. He really is a special person, and I really wish they had hung his number in the rafters on Saturday.
I wish so. Is that something that comes later? I mean, is that still, is there potential there, or is that just kind of like not a thing CSU's into?
So we talked a little bit after the game. I was talking with my good friend Joel Cantalamessa of RamNation.com after the game, and we were approached by Kyle Neves, who, you know, Kyle is one of the associate ADs that, in terms of overseas communication and stuff. And he told us that basically he fought for it. He was the only one really trying to push getting Zay's number retired on senior day. And he said the current process is you have to be a Hall of Fame member to get your number retired at CSU, and you need to be vetted for 8 years before you can be selected to the Hall of Fame. So right now the current process says they're 8 years away from being able to do that. And, of course, I laughed and I fired back. I hope I'm alive for it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you want to – I think you want to try to capture that now. You capture that magic. It's weird. Same thing with the pros too. We have to have so many years after they're retired or whatever where they could be honored like that. But man, I think it should just be as easy as we've got it. We're putting the jersey up there. We're hanging it from the rafters, and you know. But who am I, Steve? Everything's got to have a few more rules to it, I suppose.
I'm one of these people that believes there's no time like the present, and it would have been a good time. I don't know if you saw Sean Keeler's Denver Post column that talked about Becky Hammon looking lonely up there.
Mm.
What would be funny with her number hanging in the rafters? You've sat in my seat. You know, I'm blocked from the other numbers that are retired. I can only see Becky's number, and I thought exactly the same thing as I looked up. There she was all alone, and it was like, wouldn't it be nice if we could see number four next to that after the game? And he captured it really, really, really well, the way a lot of people were feeling.
Yeah, well, there's just no doubt about it, man. Isaiah's one of those guys, sensational basketball player, sensational human being. And now, you know, they got plenty of season left for Colorado State. Get in there and put that exclamation point on his career and get into another trip. And I think that, man, breaking all the records that he's broken, plus you know, two trips to the NCAA tournament would be a pretty hefty resume.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing I don't want to rule out, it's going to be tough to win the Mountain West tournament because they're playing on Wednesday and they're going to have to win four games. But if ever there was a team in a lineup, if they can get their bodies right and their minds right, I think they're worn out emotionally. I think it's amazing how hard it's been tough to come back after two very bitter losses in the last week. But if they can get their minds wrapped around the fact that they're a very good team, get their confidence back, I have no doubt they have the type of style that can win four games. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how things go on Saturday and then in Las Vegas the following week. I'm excited.
Yeah, Steve, appreciate you, man. As always, good to have you back. I know you were going through, just a little, down in the dumps there. Some nasty, stuff hanging around, and then you got rid of it. So that's great, man.
I'm doing great. You know, I had a great time on Saturday. I sent you a text, and you saw a picture I put on social media. I was fortunate enough to get my hands. There were two people wearing game-worn jerseys of Isaiah Stevens on Saturday. Isaiah was one of them. I was the other. I was fortunate enough to get one loaned to me by CSU through the good fortune and good nature of Nico Medved and the rest of his program, specifically Joe Desiman, who stepped up and helped out. And they found an old jersey that Isaiah had worn previously. I am not one of these fanboys that wears people's jerseys. I really wanted to honor him by having his jersey to wear. And that was such a special day for me. It was a lot of fun.
No, I love it, man. I think it's great. I mean, there's just certain guys that, like you said, you're not a fanboy, but there's certain guys that kind of bring that out in you. And I think Isaiah is certainly one of them. Steve, my man, always appreciate you. What do you have for us at the podcast and the blog that we can check out, that our Rams fans can check out?
I put out a pod this morning, recorded last night, and I recapped a lot of stuff we just talked about with the Wyoming game. I got into detail talking about some of the things that were kind of fun for me to watch because I went to the practice on Thursday and I saw a couple of things in practice that were discussed, and then to watch them executed in the game, that's always exciting because you see coaching at work and you see what happens on the practice floor. But the back half of the podcast is a very long, lengthy discussion and a bit of a rant. There's been talk about the Mountain West trying to become the Big East of the West Coast. And yes, they're having a great year this year, but they have to fix a lot of things if they want to get to the level of the Big East. And quite frankly, I brought up a couple of controversial things. And one of them was talking about, if you're really serious about being the Big East of the West Coast, you have to look at your two worst programs and consider turning them into football-only schools. Because right now they are dragging the conference down. So I encourage people to have a listen. And it's on, like I said, it's on Spotify under Crackers College Hoops.
All right, my man, Steve, appreciate you. I'm glad you're feeling better. It's the show's better, the culture is better around Colorado State when Steve Ivey is running around, man. So appreciate you, my friend.
You bet, Brady. Have a great week. We'll talk.
You too, man. 44 after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. I want to thank On the Rocks Liquor. And they've always got their free wine and beer tasting. I'll get that for you. What's coming up on Friday and Saturday? I'll get that for you coming up on tomorrow's show. On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Get your game beer of the week each and every week. And then check out the free wine and beer tastings that happen typically every Friday, 4 to 7. Sometimes they bonus it and do one on Saturday as well. Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day on Gel. Chipper's Lane's also 2454 West Greeley, not quite downtown, but kind of by the university there, the bowling alley. Love that place. Love what they're doing. Will the Russ era go down as the worst of all time for the Broncos? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
What would be, okay, and I don't want to grill you too much here, but what would be worse? Would it be the Josh McDaniels era?
It's either that or the collective 6 years after Manning before Russell.
So you say it's all bad. Russ is a part of that story. It's all a bad book, but Russ is just a chapter in it.
It's two chapters, yeah.
He's two chapters in the bad book. He's not the book by itself.
Or his first year was the last chapter of that book. Second year was the first chapter of the new book that will lead into whatever the future.
Maybe. I guess I look at it for what you had to give up to get him. And the play on the field, you know, again, the Hackett year was awful, and then last year was average. So is it the worst of all time, like Josh McDaniels? Well, if you want to do that, he was 6-0 when he started with the Broncos. And then ended up 8-8. His final year was awful, and he got fired before the season ended. So that was a pretty bad one. But let's talk about it a little bit. Also, this culture, this winning culture thing around sports. It's a good debate. We got a lot of texts on it. 49 after the hour. Take a short break. I'm going to wrap up this hour. Buy or sell coming up. A stock update, if you will, coming up in buy or sell. Also the Buffs. The CU Buffs are rolling on the basketball side of things too. And we'll get into more on Russell Wilson. He did something over the weekend that leads me to believe. He did something that leads me to believe something. We'll tell you what that means in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
Football season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, what's your definition of a winning culture in sports? A couple of texts coming in. Let's see. Big Hug saying, I didn't think this would be that intriguing. Apparently it is. Flying Dutchman wants to know, do the Miami Dolphins have a winning culture? And I think you would answer no.
I'll tell you no.
They're on the way, maybe.
They're trying.
They're trying, but they haven't established a winning culture right now. The Rockies. Okay, let's see.
Uh-oh.
I think there was a period of time the Washington Nationals expected to end the season sub 500. It showed HVAC guy. Do you think the Rockies start a season expecting to suck, though? So he asked about, HVAC guy asked about the Rockies, and are they a losing culture, winning culture? Obviously a losing culture.
I'm not going to sit down until you say something nice to me for once in your life.
I'm going to try. I'll try. Do you think the Rockies start a season expecting to suck, though? That's where it gets gray to me. They want to win every game. Well, yeah.
Of course they do.
I want to go undefeated and win the World Series. But that doesn't mean I have a winning culture. My brain wants to win. I want to run a 40 as fast as that wide receiver over the weekend. I can't. That doesn't mean I'm fast.
Well, we learned last year the Rockies wanted to play about 500.
Yeah,
that wasn't over or under, but yeah, just to ride around there. And they were way off.
They have a losing mentality as well.
So maybe they need to set their expectations way higher and it'll just kind of even out. It's like, oh, we're going to the playoffs this year.
I think you come out 500 the opposite. Baseball. Say, we don't think we're going to be very good.
Really?
No, but
you either have to overcompensate or way devalue yourself.
The other plan hasn't been working. We think we're going to be a playoff team. That didn't work. We think we're going to be 500. Well, people were mad at you for that, and you were under that. So what if you said, you know what?
We're going to win the World Series this year.
Yeah, there you go.
And they're in the playoffs.
We're winning the World Series. We are doing it. The Rockies are unique to some degree, says HVAC guy, because we are a farm. The expectation is always making young guys become great, and the expectation is always wins. I don't think the expectation is wins, is always wins.
What is it then?
I think the Rockies just hope to field a decent team that doesn't get embarrassed.
Well, that would mean winning.
No, it doesn't get embarrassed. You win. You could lose 5-3 and not be embarrassed. You could you could win two games a week, maybe three, and not be embarrassed.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You play six games in a week and you're 2-4.
Who are we talking about here? You know? I mean, that's the Rockies. Eastside Chris says, Brady, I had an indifference with the morning guys earlier today. I'll go with your opinion. I say Caitlin Clark didn't break Pistol Pete's record. She just scored more points. Perhaps it's purely semantics. Oh, that's taking me down a hole. Sometimes the hooligans just take me. I'm here and you guys take me over there. But I gotta be quick on my feet. It is a little weird to say it out loud. Caitlin Clark, those are two different sports. Those are two different leagues, men's records and women's records. So to say she broke his record, it does hit my ear wrong. Those are two different leagues. They don't compete against each other.
I would say she didn't break Pete's record, but she holds the record for most points scored in for a Division I basketball player.
Yeah, right. They're just different.
And if she's up by, what, 6 points?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Someone else will pass that eventually.
It is weird when you start crossing over because they don't play each other. Those are two different leagues, two different sports. It doesn't diminish Caitlin Clark. She's changing the game.
Would it be the same for a college kicker and an NFL kicker?
Yeah, if you say, oh, he has the most field goals ever. Ever. By any kicker that's ever played
But he
football.
Played kicker in college, played 6 years.
Yeah. You can't do it. You can't cross over. You know? All right. Buy or sell coming up next. More on the winning culture. A lot on Russell Wilson. A lot on the Denver Nuggets. And we only got 1 hour left to do it. We'll be right back.